This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hey there, cat lovers. Welcome to Nine Lives with Dr. Cat. I'm your host, Dr. Catherine Prim. I am a small animal veterinarian, a practice owner, and I am your guide to better understanding the meowsing world of cats. If you're like me, you believe our feline friends deserve the very best. And today we're going to dive into a topic that might surprise you. Physical therapy for cats. Yep, it's a thing. And it can make a world of difference for cats recovering from injury, surgery, or really just dealing with aches and pains and stiffness that come along with age. Today, my guest is Kirstie Oliver. She is a licensed veterinary technician with specialized training in physical rehabilitation, and she's here to help us understand what feline physical therapy looks like, how it helps, and how we cat lovers can be a part of the whole healing process. So we're going to take a quick break and come right back with Kirstie. We'll be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Nine Lives with Dr. Cat on Pet Life Radio. Hi, Kirstie.
Hi. Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for having me. Always a privilege to join you.
Well, welcome to Nine Lives again. I'm so glad that you're back with us. I think that people do not realize the things that you can do to help cats. And I'm really excited to talk with you a little bit today.
Yes, I think as a rehab professional, we see a vast number of dogs. And I think it's a misconception that you can't do rehab on cats, because we do actually have cats. And I've got three little orthopedic rejects of my own. So rehab has been a big part of their lives. And I'm happy to be here with you and your listeners and share little tidbits of what we do in our clinic.
So I think when people think about physical therapy, maybe for themselves or even for animals, they imagine dogs on underwater treadmills and things like that. So let's talk a little bit about how what my listener might be thinking PT is and what it really is when it comes to cats.
It's very difficult to tell a cat to do anything. So, you know, they have their very own idea of what they should be doing as opposed to what you want to do. Your dogs are very, I just want to please you, and cats are very much what's in it for me. So I think the biggest thing, the biggest take home for rehab for our feline friends is make it interesting. Don't make it complicated, but make sure that you address the pain first. Cats are very, very good masters of disguise, and they have so many different ways where they hide their pain and their discomfort, not just necessarily limping, but just changes in behavior. So a lot of what we do is making sure that we can get our furry friends back to feeling comfortable and flexible. Cats are very, 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 they're like slinkies. And sometimes it's very easy to tell if you look at a cat where they're hurting, because, you know, there's certain behaviors that cats do that may stop doing if they're, you know, if they have a lot of pain and discomfort. So rehabilitation can be anything, really. It's educating our owners and our pet parents on how they can take everyday things in the house and adapt them to help with a type of exercise at home. So understanding what you want out of an exercise can really make you so creative when creating exercises for cats, especially because of their abundance of curiosity.
I love that. I love that creativity plays a role. I think creativity plays a role in my job as well. So, and really in my life. So I think I hear a lot in my exam room about dogs and cats, really. I understand that I'm here with my cat because my cat is limping or whatever, but I don't really think that she's in pain. So can you kind of go into what maybe my listeners that are looking at possibly their senior cat, what are some little flags, red flags they might notice that don't seem like pain, but maybe are?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent question. And it's, you know, if only they could talk, right? You know, we get some aches and pains and, you know, we're like, yes, I understand I'm in pain and I can go and grab, you know, a pain reliever, you know, off the shelf. It's different for our pets and cats in particular. So, you know, you live and you occupy a space with another sentient being. You look, what's changed? I mean, our cats are part of our lives. They drift in and drift out during the day. Have they been wanting more attention than normal? Have they been avoiding more attention than normal? Accessible areas in the house like couches, chairs. Do you have a counter surfer? Beds, you know, have a look and see if there's anything in your house that your cat is usually on, but has chosen to sit either on the floor or under something. Like, are they trying to kind of take themselves away from a natural environment? Because their basal tiger instinct is basically, I'm sore, I'm hurt, I don't want to be bottom of the food chain. Let me remove myself from that potential hazard. So are they cleaning or grooming themselves? I think the biggest cat problem sometimes is obviously dental pain. But if they're having spinal discomfort or joint pain because they are such a flexible beast, if they're not grooming their back end, or if they're not, like, I call it playing the cello. So if they're not taking care of like their housekeeping, then is there something painful? Is there something uncomfortable that is creating these changes in their biomechanics that they're not wanting to kind of pursue cleaning, pursue kind of other areas because it may be painful? I'm sure that you see it in your practice all the time, Dr. Kat, that you see people bring their animals in for inappropriate, like especially cats, inappropriate urination outside of the litter box. Everybody puts it down to like flat behavior, but what if it's pain? What if it's back pain? What if it's hip pain? What if it's knee pain? And they've got a large litter box that looks like a skyscraper. And they're just like, well, there's no way I'm going to get in that. I'm just going to go right here. So it's really key, I think, for all of our cat parents to really be keyed in to what's going on with our cats, changes in behavior. And the biggest thing is don't just put it down to age. Age is not a disease. There are age-related changes associated with age. But I mean, specifically, you know, like osteoarthritis, pain management is not just because my cat is old. No cat, nobody deserves to be in pain. And I think it's really important to make sure that we're aware of subtle changes in behavior. And then getting to your veterinarian and saying, I'd like to have an open discussion about, I think there's something wrong with my pet. Can we do some investigation?
That is an excellent point. Just when you were answering that, I remember one time when I did a workout and I was so sore that getting on and off the toilet was really painful, like catch my breath kind of painful. And I imagine if that was your everyday.
Yeah.
And you couldn't tell anyone. So, yeah, I think that is a really, really good point. So, in practice, though, what kind of cat patients do you usually see? Is it just senior patients, or is it post-surgical, or just the average run-of-the-mill cat? Do you see them all?
That. Yes, absolutely that. You know, we're really fortunate that, especially where I work at the moment, I'm attached to a surgical unit. So we do see a lot of post-surgical cases, whether that be fracture repair. Some cats tear their cruciates as well, so they have to be stabilized. But we also have a really good relationship with our referring veterinarians, and they know and understand just through outreach, education, putting the word out there that let's make this a team effort. Pain management, especially in cats and in dogs as well, should be a team event. So who can we get in our corner to help improve the lives of our furry friends? So we have a really good relationship with our referring veterinarians, and they know, they're like, okay, so we've gotten this far with this treatment within the clinic, how about we refer you to physical rehabilitation, where we've got some additional modalities. I've got wonderful doctors that do acupuncture. Cats dig acupuncture. It's amazing. And it's surprising how many cats we have that come in and they come out of their cat carriers and they just sit on the bed and they're like, okay, make me feel better.
I love it. I love it. So I think that if our listeners at home are looking at their cat and maybe they have an ultra skinny cat, it could be muscle wasting.
Yes.
So they might be able to benefit from this modality if they're looking at their cat and it is an overweight cat.
Yeah, I'm looking at one right now.
Wait, don't admit that. I'm trying to encourage people.
Nope. Hands up. No, I'll admit it, because I have three orthopedic rejects from work, and my big boy, my Dennis, was a swimmer kitten. So, you know, he has mobility issues and his sternum didn't develop properly. So all of the muscle attachments to his shoulders are elsewhere. So he is functional, but he's not very mobile. So he has a tendency, his weight waxes and wanes quite a lot. And we've just finished a course of acupuncture and shockwave on him because his back flared up, you know, because of his changes in his biomechanics. His other parts of his body take more stresses and strains and are more prone to arthritis. So even though he's only four, he does have radiographic evidence of osteoarthritis in his back already. Oh boy.
I think that that is an excellent point. And I think that people outside of the veterinary world don't really think about it, because animals depend on symmetry. So
yes.
when mm-hmm. something is wrong or different, maybe a cat that had an amputation, the other limbs could probably benefit from physical rehabilitation.
Absolutely. And we see so much of that, you know, with like traumatic injury and with hit by cars and other injuries. We see three-legged cats, front limb, rear limb. I mean, you look at your car. I mean, we make such, you know, we forget we have huge investments in vehicles and we rely on them to get from A to B in our daily lives. But if their wheel balance is off, then the entire car doesn't run efficiently. And I think that is never so more important when we deal with like our rehab patients. And I think everybody that I speak to gets, they're like, oh God, here she comes again with her biomechanics speech. And it's so important to understand that base biomechanics and function can affect daily life if there is injury, chronic disease, biologic changes within the body. The rest of the body has to compensate. And it's really important to look at our patients as a whole and figure out, oh yes, they're coming in for this, that, and the other. But you don't just get presented with a leg, you get presented with an entire patient. So it's our job in the veterinary field as a whole, and that's from our DVMs to our referring DVMs to our specialists, everybody involved in pet care, we treat a whole patient. And whole patient care is so important, so important.
So that is a soapbox. I'm so glad that you led me to a soapbox.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's great. So I would say that holistic describes everyone in the veterinary sphere.
Yeah.
That we all or should look at the whole patient.
Yes.
And I don't think that people necessarily, just the general public, understands what holistic means. It just means we're looking at the whole animal. And because our patients can't tell us stuff,
yes.
We are innately required to be holistic. So
yes.
Thank you for bringing me an opportunity to stand on my soapbox.
Let's stand on a soapbox together. You know, everybody thinks that holistic means
voodoo.
You know, the wand waving magic that, but you know what? Whole care is what we do. We treat a whole body. And you almost have to be psychic to treat animals because you're right, they don't tell us. We have to basically play detective and go on histories from owners. Come on, owners, be honest with us all. We work better when we get the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Amen. Amen. Okay, well, I want to take a quick break and I want to come back and talk about how we do this. So I'll be right back.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem. But the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's carnivora.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Nine Lives with Dr. Kat on Pet Life Radio. So Kirstie and I were just on our soapbox about holistic veterinary medicine and how all veterinary professionals are holistic, not to be confused with voodoo or magic. Although sometimes I feel like physical therapists do magic. So here's my next question for you. How do you even do physical therapy for a cat? Because I know that everybody out there is kind of thinking, wow, that's chaos.
It can be. I mean, there are very prolific cat herders out there and they have my respect, but it comes in, know your patient, talk to your owners. In most cases, you're seeing somebody's fur child. So, and they know them better than you do. So ask them questions. Like for me, for Dennis, is like, what is Dennis's favorite thing? And Dennis loves nothing more than like packing paper out of a chewy box. So how can I take Dennis's favorite thing and turn it into something that will help create an exercise that will help with his joint care? So we use a lot of cat tunnels. Yes, laser pointers can be good, but they can be a little chaotic. I have another cat that is a syndactyl. He only has 2 toes on 1 foot and it's his front leg. So it's a weight bearing leg. And his name is Rock Lobster because he's a ginger, but you get the laser out and poor little man loses like his ginger brain cell, like short circuits. So you have to kind of be a little bit careful that you're not trying to undo the good by overdoing the interesting. So string toys, bags, liquid cat treats. Cats are always suspicious of things that they don't understand, especially if it's like, well, the what's in it for me business. So have a little bit of give and take. Don't force them into anything. Get an idea of what you're trying to achieve with the exercise and then find a way to adapt it to that patient. One size does not fit all. There may be things that certain cats are willing to do that others aren't. Like I said earlier, Dennis is a swimmer kitten, so he couldn't and still can't, even though he walks. He can't use a cat tree because he doesn't have the proper biomechanics in his front end. So there's a lot of things that keep my other two very, very active. They're up, they're down, they jump. And Dennis has a lot of trouble with higher spaces. So we try and keep things interesting by keeping things on the ground for him while working on his metabolism, working on his flexibility. So there isn't a one size fits all. It's understand your patient, understand what you're trying to get out of an exercise, talk to your owners and figure out how you engage with that patient at a level where it's like, oh, that's a bag. I'm a cat. I love bags. I'm going to go look in the bag. So what sort of exercise have you created by just having a cat crawl into a bag?
So just real quick, as a divergent, can you tell my listeners a little bit about what a swimmer kitten is?
Yes, absolutely. We see it a lot in dogs as well, but it's basically when they're born. It's for Dennis in particular. He was born with his chest cavity did not develop properly. So the muscle attachments for his shoulders did not develop. So he wasn't able to bring his front legs in together to stand. So basically, he swam around the floor. So it means that his front legs were kind of stuck out to the side, like he was like doing an aeroplane, which obviously can, because kittens are all basically cartilage, it can create a flattening of the chest and a lot of developmental problems, you know, with their spine and obviously with their shoulders and their neck. So if they're not kind of treated, or if there isn't some sort of intervention, then the older they get, the more osseous or more bony they get, and they become a little less pliable. So it's a lot harder to fix as the kitten gets older. But I was very fortunate that Dennis was presented to us. He was only 5.5 weeks old, and he was getting over a terrible upper respiratory because he couldn't, and he still can't clean his face. He doesn't have the proper range of motion and muscle attachment. So every day I clean his face because he does love his food, bless his heart, and he usually gets it all over his face. So we get some sort of gravy mustache styling in the morning that we have to get rid of.
Awesome. He's very lucky to have you.
I know. I am lucky to have him.
Absolutely.
He teaches me a lot every day. Just, you know, enjoy. He's a very simple soul, bless him. And, you know, he does teach me to just slow down and enjoy the little things in life.
Well, I love it. So, okay. So what I'm understanding from you is that you just have to kind of instinctively know to go at the cat's own pace and be creative to use the things in the cat's arsenal, so to speak.
Yes.
You can help do that. So, but what can my cat-loving listeners do at home to help support rehabilitation or mobility in their cats?
It's a great question. It really depends on the lifestyle. Again, know your pet, you know your fur child, especially if they are older. You know, we do associate osteoarthritis with older animals, but there's what we call lifestyle modifications, not necessarily stopping things, but how can, like for rock lobster, I can take my laser pointer out and he will literally like chase it till he explodes, but it's not good because he's another one of mine that has arthritis. So how can I, you know, how do we take that and how do we modify that so we don't take the fun out of his life? We're not punishing him by taking his uber favorite thing away. But, you know, how do we change that? So we actually got one of these little remote laser pointer devices that has an adjustable prism, and it keeps the beam moving and on a very low level and has a 5-minute timer.
Perfect. I don't know how you even found that. That sounds awesome.
It was something, I don't know, I was looking for just like a new laser because obviously, and I was like, oh, hey, that's a really good idea. And depending on how high up you put it, you can angle the beam and keep it on the floor and off of the walls. You can change the aperture so it keeps it to a small area so that they're not kind of like over lunging or like running in long lines. So he still gets his play and it's timed. And he knows when we had a few tears before bedtime when it actually got, you know, when it turned itself off because he wasn't quite ready to finish. But he now knows that when it stops, his uber adrenaline session is actually over.
I love it. He probably knows when it's about to go off by now.
Pretty much. Someone hasn't invented one that has an app that's controllable. So anybody who's like, any listener that's good with like apps and stuff, if you could get like a remote app controlled cat laser, you'd make a fortune.
I don't know how to do that, but it's,
no, me neither.
It sounds really good.
I'm like, wow, that would be a really good idea if I hadn't gone into veterinary physical rehabilitation and I'd have done IT like I should have done.
Do you work with your pet owners to show them things like stretches or things?
Absolutely.
How much of it is at home with what you do?
I think what we do in the clinic as rehab professionals is only as successful as the amount of work our owners are willing to put in as well. So there are some cats, let's face it, they don't like the travel box. It's basically the box of doom, and no travel ever ended well. You know, you go in the crate, you either end up in boarding or you end up at the vet. So there are some cases that we try and we say, okay, well, you bring them in. Let's try a couple of weeks of these exercises at home and then bring them back. So cats that are super stressed about travel, we try and work with our owners remotely with home-based programs. You know, there's an excellent platform that has a bunch of like video-guided home exercises that we can actually go in and prescribe to our clients so that they're not just searching online. YouTube is great, but if your cat hasn't been evaluated, then, you know, you don't want to do more harm than good if the cat is painful. So, and then, you know, we encourage, if Fluffy's doing great, take a video, show me what you've got at home. And then we can kind of work with a home exercise program based on what you have at home. A lot of people just live in an apartment, so no stairs. So we have to come up with something else that will help with that weight-bearing exercise that we would benefit from maybe stairs. So it's really knowing and understanding, you know, I can't stress enough, talk to your pet parents, have a conversation. Don't get creepy and like ask them all the things they have in their house, but what does your cat enjoy? What sort of things do you have at home? What is your time frame? I mean, do you have 15 to 20 minutes a day, twice a day maybe, to work on some stretches or some pain relief, you know, sit with your cat with like a PEMF mat or a PEMF loop. So it has to fit into everybody's schedule as well. Because I mean, we all have lives. And sometimes we have to break rehab into little bits because our cats are painful or their muscles are weak. And we can't just be like, okay, I'm going to bang this out in 20 minutes and we're going to do the whole thing. It might just be too much. So working with your rehab professional and working with your regular vet to find a happy medium to get pain under control, improve mobility, and then your exercises will progress as your patient progresses as well.
I love that. I love it. This has been so enlightening. I want you to distill all that we have just talked about. This is a challenge for you. What is one message that you would want every cat owner, fat cat, skinny cat, old cat, young cat, every cat owner to hear?
Age is not a disease. Age is not a disease. Arthritis is a disease. Sickness is a disease. There are age-related changes associated with those issues. But just because your cat is old, it's not an excuse, but it's not a band-aid. You've got 3, 4, and 5-year-old cats that come in. And I was blessed to have my old boy until he was 17, and he was mobile up until the day he passed away. But my 11-year-old cat, who passed away when she was 11, had feline hyperesthesia, which is basically fibromyalgia in cats. And her pain level and his pain level were completely different. So monitor your fur children for pain. Pain can be debilitating. I know that Dr. Kat has spoken about the feline grimace scale. It's available on your, you know, on your phone. It's an app. It's a great tool for both veterinarians and non-veterinarians, pet parents alike, to be able to use facial expressions in cats to determine how much pain they're in. It's an open doorway to have a conversation with your veterinarian and get your cat the help that they need.
Excellent. Yeah. And you pull it around to something else I wanted to mention. That's awesome. Because cats do feel pain.
They do.
And they're not going to be screaming in pain. No. And they're not going to be crying. They're going to be trying to hide it so that they feel less vulnerable. So yes, that is a really good point. So thank you for joining me on Nine Lives with Dr. Kat. This has just been such a great enlightening journey for me. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I hope that your listeners aren't too terrified by my passion.
I don't think so. I think my listeners are not. They are here because they want to learn about cat passions. So I would like to thank our producer, Mark Winter. And I also want to thank our listeners. If today's episode gave you a new perspective on your cat's health, then please share it with your fellow cat lovers and subscribe. Don't forget to follow, subscribe, and like, because every cat deserves to live all of their 9 lives in comfort and in joy. So until next time, give your kitty an extra snuggle from me and Kirsty, and keep living your best life. Go out and have a perfect day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.